Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It's Tuesday, September 13th. I'm your host, Eric Steven, and I'm coming to you for the second straight day to tell you the Dodgers have clinched a playoff spot. When we last left you, Sunday night into Monday morning, the Dodgers were thought to have clinched a playoff spot because they clinched at least a tie with the Brewers, who are the last team on the outside looking in on the playoff standings in the National League at the moment, which meant that since the Dodgers won the season series with the Brewers, that means they own the tiebreaker. So on Sunday, that's when the sort of powers that be in Major League Baseball and the Dodgers thought they clinched a playoff spot. To their credit, they weren't they didn't really go crazy, although I'd be okay if every team like just celebrated like a madman every single step of the way, even clinching a playoff spot for a team that's going to win like 110 games. Why not? It's a long season. Celebrate every chance you get. I get it. Well, we have bigger goals and all that. They're going to celebrate the division when that happens. But anyway, they acknowledged that they clinched a playoff spot, but didn't really celebrate. It was more like a handshake, if anything. On Sunday, but then come Monday morning, MLB said, well, the Dodgers own the tiebreaker over the Brewers if it's a head-to-head, but in a scenario where there are multiple teams, I don't know the exact scenarios, but there could be like 3, 4, or 5 team tiebreakers. The chaos for that to happen, for one thing, would have been great, but there's a scenario, like I looked up a few. Had there been like a 3-team tie with, let's say the Padres surpassed the Dodgers for the division, then the Dodgers tied with like the Phillies and Cardinals, then you go head to head between all three. The Dodgers come out on the outside looking in there. There was another scenario where they came out on the outside. I'm sure there were a few more, but so anyway, bottom line was they didn't quite clinch Sunday. So they go into Monday again with a magic number of 1 to clinch a playoff berth. Milwaukee was off. The Padres were off, so no division things were happening Monday. Tyler Anderson was great, as he pretty much has been all year. He pitched 7 scoreless innings in this one. It's hard to overstate what a really awesome story Anderson has been this year. They signed him to a 1-year deal in March after the lockout ended. And he was sort of insurance going into the season. He was the 6th man in the starting rotation. He started off the season piggybacking with Tony Gonsolin. He had a couple of 4-inning relief appearances after Gonsolin. You got to keep in mind, with shortened spring training, pitchers weren't exactly stretched out like usual to start this season. So there were extra pitchers on staff for things like that. But then when Andrew Heaney went on the injured list, Tyler Anderson stepped into the rotation, and he's been there ever since. He actually leads the Dodgers in innings, which is remarkable, again, considering he didn't start in the rotation. He was pitching regularly, but still, he's 15-3, a 2.62 ERA, the latter's 5th in the National League. Since he was named to his first All-Star team back in July, Anderson has a 1.92 ERA and 11 starts. He's gone 7 innings 3 straight times, and 5 out of his last 7. He's lasted at least 6 innings in 18 times in 25 starts. He's just been rock solid. I don't know what else to say about it. He's been really great, steady as they go, doesn't always strike out a ton, limits contact, keeps people off balance, has the funky hitch in his delivery. He's just been a joy to watch all season. However, even though Anderson was keeping the Diamondbacks off the board, Monday's game was scoreless through 6 because the Diamondbacks had a good pitcher of their own. Ryan Nelson, who, like Anderson, is a former fellow Oregon Duck. He was great for the second time in as many major league starts. He kept the Dodgers scoreless for 6. Nelson also pitched 7 scoreless innings last week in San Diego. Those are his only 2 major league starts to date, so he has a 0 ERA. But the Dodgers sort of waited him out, they got to the bullpen in the 7th, and right when the Diamondbacks brought in the bullpen, the Dodgers immediately loaded the bases with nobody out. So, like, patience, again, paying off. Trace Thompson cashed things in with a sacrifice fly. Then Cody Bellinger hit a two-run double. He also singled later in the game in the ninth and scored on Mookie Betts' three-run homer that put the game away. It was a 6-0 win. Side note here for Mookie Betts, that was his 34th home run. That's a career high for him. All of those have come out of the leadoff spot this year, and that sets a Dodgers record for most home runs out of the leadoff spot in a single season. Jock Peterson had 33 in 2019. But back to Bellinger for a second. He's had two straight two-hit games. That was following an 0-for-22 and a 1-for-28 skid. So, look, he's had a bad year at the plate. There's no denying that. But, like we've mentioned so many times, September is all about figuring out who's going to be sort of in the rotation, as it were. And I'm using rotation loosely, not as a pitching rotation, but just in playing time. And Bellinger's defense, obviously very good. So if he can do anything at the plate, they would take it. Who knows how that's going to play out. I actually wrote last week that I thought Trace Thompson deserved more playing time. Not maybe directly at the expense of Bellinger, but there's also sort of four players with Joey Gallo and Chris Taylor, along with Bellinger and Thompson, vying for like center field and left field playing time. So there's some playing time to go around. I think Trace Thompson has played his way into more of it, even though he's also been slumping of late a little bit. But anyway, there's still time to figure that out. But seeing the sort of positive results for Bellinger is good. But it became extra funny on Monday because Sunday in San Diego, it's the last road trip of the season, the last extended one. The Dodgers do have three more games in San Diego later in the season. But it's not a trip. It's just a three-game series. So they had the annual sort of dress-up day where everyone dresses up. I will note this is a nice departure from olden times when it was basically rookie hazing, where you would try to have rookies dress up in quote-unquote embarrassing attire. And usually that sort of always devolved into stuff like, hey, you're dressing up like a woman. How embarrassing, you know, that kind of a thing. And it was just, I'm glad MLB a few years back, like, sort of got rid of that practice. It's pretty dumb. Like, honestly, it's past its time. It happened. It doesn't happen anymore, thankfully, or at least it shouldn't. But, yeah, it's more of a fun thing where literally everyone participates. And there were some funny costumes. Justin Turner shared a photo of Turner, Bellinger, Joey Gallo and Andre Jackson. They were all Chippendale dancers. So Justin Turner was on MLB Network earlier Monday, sort of explaining the sort of inner workings of this. And the costumes, it was funny because the picture is Turner and Bellinger wearing like body, like torso shirts, basically, with like the sort of painted on ripped abs. Not like they're professional athletes, right? So it's not like they would be embarrassed if they weren't wearing, but it just makes a little bit of a funnier costume. But then there's also the collar with the bow tie and the cufflinks. And so I guess Turner said he bought extra cufflinks and collars just in case. Andre Jackson, who was just called up over the weekend, when Blake Treinen went on the injured list. So they didn't really have a costume ready for him. So they just said, okay, you're a Chippendale. So he didn't get one of the shirts. So he just went bare chested. So did Joey Gallo. And during the SNL or Sports NLA broadcast, Eric Karras on Monday, his line was something like, yeah, that's not a shirt. That's just pure Gallo. It was pretty funny. But in explaining this, so they show the picture and it's the four of them in Chippendale's attire. And Turner was saying that he heard in the batting cages after giving Bellinger the collar and the cufflinks, and Bellinger's talking to somebody. He's like, "Yeah, I get why we're doing Chippendales, but I don't know what these have to do with the mice." And so Bellinger thought it was Chip and Dale, the Rescue Rangers, the cartoon mice. Which is hilarious. Like, Cody Bellinger is by far the most memeable Dodger. He always has, like, a sort of, I don't know, lack of a better term, a stoned look on his face, or he's just very contemplative. So there's all sorts of, like, you can, you know, there's Amanda Smith has a great Twitter thread that's been updated over the years of Cody Bellinger deep thoughts, just sort of fun observations. And it's always fun to look at that. But, like, you can't top, like, actual real-life Cody Bellinger, like, in creating these kind of humor situations. So it made for a funny day. That was pretty cool. But yeah, so the Dodgers, they're in the playoffs. They're closing in on another division. We'll talk a little bit more about that, plus some pitching injury updates after the break. Pitching plans for the Dodgers continue to sort of be a volume play. They have 8 pitchers currently on the injured list, all sort of vying for October playing time. And I don't think realistically you can expect all 8 to be ready for October, let alone pitch well enough to sort of make the postseason roster. But if a handful of them do, it just sort of adds to the mix, right? I mean, the current active bullpen has Heath Hembree, Justin Brule, Andre Jackson, and Phil Bickford, who has actually been pitching better of late, but he has not, his second season with the Dodgers has not been as good as his first. But there's all sorts of maneuverings, you know, of these various pitchers trying to get back, although it sounds like there's been, I would say, a setback for at least 3 of them. So Tony Gonsolin, we talked about his bullpen session Sunday in San Diego. I guess he came out of that feeling sore, so he's not really progressing as well as the team had hoped. Another bullpen session is coming on Wednesday. So Gonsolin's last start was August 23rd. He got scratched from his August 29th start in Miami, and then everyone was saying the hope would be that he'd miss only 2 starts. But if you remember at the time, we were saying about how it's basically going to depend on how he responds to warming up and how he feels and that sort of thing. So yeah, always sort of bet the over on injury timetables and things like that. But looking at it now, there would need to be a progression to sort of get him ready. He's going to go bullpen session. He's going to probably face hitters at some point. Then, like, I don't know if they're going to do a rehab assignment or anything, or if they just do simulated games before he sort of comes back. But even, let's say it takes, like, 2 weeks from Gonsolin's bullpen session on Wednesday before he's activated. That's September 28th, and that's about a week, a little more than a week left in the season. There's really only time for 2 major league starts at that point, plus maybe a simulated game during those 5 off days between the regular season and the NLDS. This is the caveat that Gonsolin would be used sort of later in the series at this point, given sort of where he's at. And that's if everything goes well. So, like, they really could be running out of time. This is Dave Roberts before Monday's game. They showed this on Sportsnet LA. He said, "Right now I'm confident in Gonsolin. But obviously every day that goes by that he's not at full strength, I'm a little less confident." So I guess the issue is not that – it's just that Gonsolin's still sort of experiencing issues, I guess, with the forearm soreness, and it's just not going away. And Roberts talked about the intensity of his bullpen. It wasn't sort of up to par. So there's a long road to hoe for Gonsolin. So it's going to be tough to sort of see him – it's becoming more and more of a long shot at this point of him sort of making the postseason roster, I think, unless obviously he shows improvement in the next couple weeks. But yeah, they're kind of running out of time with that. Others they might be running out of time on. So we talked yesterday about the 3 60-day injured list pitchers who were rehabbing in Oklahoma City. All 3 joined the Dodgers in Arizona. So Tommy Kahnle is supposed to be activated this series. He came off Tommy John surgery that cost him all of last season, missed the first part of this season, and then pitched 4 games for the Dodgers before landing on the injured list. He's supposed to be activated during the Arizona series, so that's today or tomorrow. But then Victor Gonzalez and Danny Duffy, they had their rehab assignments shut down. So neither one was sort of bouncing back physically to where the Dodgers will have liked. Their 30-day rehab assignments are on pause. I will link to in the show notes from some of the beat writers who are on site with a little more details of these pitchers. But so how that works, so you get 30 days for on a rehab assignment if you're a pitcher. Logistically, they could technically start a new rehab if they suffered a new injury or a recurrence of a previous injury. It would require approval from the commissioner's office. I don't know how heavily those are scrutinized. It sounds like it'd be fairly easy to do that. Practically, though, like, it takes Gonsolin and Duffy further out of the October equation. I don't even know if Duffy was even in it anyway, just given how he was pitching, but only every 3 days or so. And again, he hasn't pitched in a major league game since last July. So, and he was always a long shot, I think, to make it in October. So I think it's entirely possible that those guys just stay on the injured list the rest of the season. In other injury news, non-pitching, Kevin Pillar, he's going to start a rehab assignment with AAA Oklahoma City later this week. His season was thought to be over after shoulder surgery in early June, but he's been working out at Camelback Ranch doing baseball activities, swinging a cage, all that kind of stuff since mid-August, I think. I have no idea if he'd even be considered for a spot in October. I kind of doubt it. But either way, that's a good comeback because, like, he, again, thought he was going to be out for the season. I wonder if they'll sort of try to do a re-up with him, kind of like they did maybe with Jimmy Nelson a couple years ago when he got hurt in 2020. And then they got him for 2021. He was really good until he got hurt again, and he's been hurt all year. But Pillar from Southern California, L.A. area, I'm sure he would be amenable to that if they can work out something. But that's something for the offseason. But nice to see that he's at least made his way back health-wise. Yeah, so that's where we're at. The Dodgers play again, the Diamondbacks. They start at the same time, 6:40 p.m. as the Padres in Seattle. The Dodgers can clinch the NL West, which would be their ninth division title in 10 years on Tuesday, with a win over the D-backs or a Padres loss in Seattle. The magic number is down to one for that. So hope you enjoy watching. Hope you enjoyed listening to this. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.